seat.
Okay, so how are we? We have W2SQQ,
hesitate, but it sounded like you. W2LIE, N1MLZ, W2GOD, K2GIK. Justin, the signal is clean. Just bring up the audio a little bit. N2SCR and N2NHM. Anybody else?
GLW, if you copy. Yes, I was me. I was checking in on a base unit, but I said that I would be heading out with the dog and would follow the rest of the net on my HT.
N2N over. Here is Kilo 2, United Papa Sierra. K2UBS, Rich in Queens. Just listening, no traffic.
Victor Bravo Golf in Manhattan, Henry, no traffic.
Okay, Gordon, I got all that this time around. I guess you and Bob were doubling a little bit on the beginning part, but we have you down, Gordon. KC2ES and KC2BBG. Anybody else before we get started?
UH2OKZ, Ken in Grandford, no traffic.
Okay, we have W2OKZ. Steven, Ken, is the email working out for you now?
Perfect, Charlie. I still don't know why Yahoo doesn't like us, but definitely coming through on the second address. No problems at all. Thank you.
Okay, bye. I can't account for why certain IFCs go a little crazy at times. Yeah, it just happens, so we just try to work around them. Okay, let's take the list as we have it now, being that it's May 27th. June, something's coming in the next 2 weeks. We'll talk about that in a little while. Let's start off with Bob and see what's an email tonight. W2SQQ-N4OB.
Charlie? Just one email from KC2FYA, and he just wanted to mention that I guess he's been scanning the digital channels at NJN. Channel 51 has an audio-only subcarrier on 50-3. So he goes on to say that there's 50-1, 50-2, and 50-3. And I think you'll find that a lot of digital channels, aside from the primary channel, the ABC, NBC, and CBS, there are additional channels. So in the transition to digital, you're also getting more channels. But as far as email, that's it for the moment.
Okay, Bob. Does he say what the audio carrier is, or is it just audio of the main television channel?
No, it's an audio-only sub-channel on 50.3, and then in parentheses, it's 51.3 virtual. So it sounds like whatever is on 51.3, you can receive just the audio on 50.3.
Well, UHF Channel 51 is where they have the digital version of NJN Channel 50. So even though it's called 50.1, 50.2, 50.3, it's actually on the UHF channel 51. I think that's what he's trying to clarify.
That might be. I don't know. I do have another question, actually. Somebody had emailed me during the week, and then I told him about the net, and I promised him that I would introduce it here. So I think I explained it, but for the benefit of those on the net here. Person had asked me regarding the New Jersey State Police trunk system. Naturally, you can put in the Troop B, which is in the northern part of the state. And what he found was that, for example, 3Com and 4Com from the central part of the state, you could put in those talk group numbers. And most of the time you could receive them up here. So he's tried the same thing with Troop A, which is all the way down south near Atlantic City, and commented that he has never been able to get any of the Troop A channels. I'm going to drop second. Am My understanding and my explanation was that the only way that you would hear a Troop A channel here is if a Troop A car perhaps was on business up here in the northern part of the state, in which case the talk group that he's associated with from down in Atlantic City would follow him up here. Anything more to add to that, Charlie?
No, that explains it perfectly, Bob. I mean, it's basically three zones of a system, north, central, and south. And wherever that particular unit happens to be, they associate with that zone, and that's when the talk group would then be alive to them. I mean, what some people have done, and I've seen this discussed on some of the forums, is that they will put in all of the frequencies for A, B, and C into their scanner, put in all of the talk groups, and as they move back and forth between the zones traveling within the state of New Jersey, whichever one they lock onto, they would be able to hear whatever happened to be carried on that tower, regardless where it originally started from. Like in this particular case, the Zone 8 trooper happens to be in the north.
Okay, now I got a question for you. I'm not sure, are you or is anybody else on here using the Butel software for the 996?
No, I'm not. I'm using Scan Control and PC Tools.
So, 996 question in general, and I believe it's the same for 396. For a given trunk system, maximum number of talk group IDs you can have is 100?
I'd have to find a spec list in my 996 book. It says it right in there. But what's in the 996 is not necessarily the same as the 396. It's a matter of amount of memory and how they've got it set up.
I mean, the reason I'm asking is, to be honest with you, I misplaced my book. I know it's here somewhere. I just can't put my finger on it. But obviously there are more than 100 talk group IDs on the New Jersey system. So I'm not listening to all of them at any given time, but the point is there are more than 100, so you have to kind of sit there and play pick and choose. And I'm just wondering, the only other way I could think of doing it would be to put the system in there twice and split the talk groups up that way.
Well, in the 996 book on page 131, the spec list says that this particular model radio will do 500 maximum systems, 20 groups per system. Each site will hold 1,000 maximum, or 256 per system. Up to 6,000 channels, but 3,000 is typical probably because you're using alpha tag and stuff. And channels per trunk system, 250. Now, right off the top of my head, I'm assuming that means frequencies per trunk system. Maybe that's what they had in mind in taking care of, you know, a smart zone system, like a thing that's zoned out. I have to dig a little bit further into the book just to make sure of that. So that's what it says on page 131.
Okay. Because what happens is when you, the list that you bring up is it only goes up to 100. You can't go more than that. So I'm just wondering, I gotta read into it a little bit more. It's one of those things where I'm redoing everything and you want to try and put it in some logical order and put everything in there, and I don't want to miss anything. But then the reality of it is you really only sit there and listen to the same 10 channels or 10 talk IDs, you know, so it's, I guess the question to have everything in there. Okay, anyway, I'll look into it. Not a big deal. N210VWA12QQ, and I'll be watching email.
Okay, thanks, Bob. And if anybody needs to see your email, if you're not able to get it on the air, email address again is nyvxa@yahoo.com. And Bob, the way I would describe what you just said about being able to put in all that and only listen to 10 of them, it's sort of like when I was first installing satellite dishes as a business back in the 80s. You know, those big 10 and 12 foot dishes. And where my father lived, he wasn't getting the VHF signals too well on the south shore of Staten Island behind Toad Hill. And I was trying to tell him about, oh, I'll put a satellite dish for you. He says, well, I can't watch that much television. And I said, well, it's not a matter of the number of channels. You don't have to watch everything. But at least you have the variety available to you that you can pick and choose whenever you want. So I think in that sense, if you program in everything that's in a particular, let's say, trunk system like the New Jersey system, if something happens, you know which folder, which position, the particular activity is, like all the search and rescue stuff, all the hospital stuff, all the OEM, and, you know, whatever it is, you have it right there. You don't have to go hunting for the talk group. It's already in the radio.
That's just it. That's exactly what I'm, you know, looking to do. So I gotta dig in a little bit more to the manual. But sometimes it's hard cross-referencing what Futel software will do versus what the radio can do.
Yeah, unfortunately, when that happens, you just gotta go back to the software manufacturer and say, hey, you're missing this feature or this setting. You know, whatever. And sometimes it gets a little crazy. I mean, we spent, what, 20, 30 years now, Bob, of programmable scanners that have fixed matrix of number of channels per bank. So this is deeply ingrained in our subconscious. And it's only recently, within the past few years, that now we're dealing with radios that have dynamic memory and folders and multiple sites. So it takes a little, you know, to get your brain wrapped around it.
Yeah, in fact, I just found the programming manual for the controller that is in one of my Pro 2006s, the one that Bill Chief designed. That's a good many years ago, but that was basically just programming frequencies from a computer into the radio, and so you didn't have to press the buttons. And if you look how far we've come, it's kind of mind-boggling. But then again, I remember the Bearcat 101, I think it was a 101, which was the first programmable scanner. And what you had to do is you had to look up the frequency in a book, and then there was, I think, 16 switches on the front, and it was basically binary, zeros and ones, and you had a set of switches, and then you hit enter, and that's the way you entered it into the radio.
Yeah, and then there was, I believe it was the Whammo that had the metal combs that you break off the teeth, basically doing the same thing, a binary code. And then, I mean, before I got the trunking radios, I had my 2006 with an Opto 456 board in there running probe on an old Toshiba laptop running DOS. So, yeah, we've come quite a way, Bob. And for those who are just entering the hobby recently, some of this may sound a little strange, so I suggest either go to the nytxa.info website, check some of our back issues of newsletters from the 90s, or do some searching on Google. And some of the stuff, it was interesting and sometimes daunting, sometimes strange when we had to deal with it, but we've come quite a way since then. Okay, let's continue down the list. Next one up is Phil, W2LIE, and it's going up. And Phil, how'd things go with the air show this weekend?
Everything was pretty good, Charlie. Sorry I missed last weekend's Met, but life got in the way. Quick comment, though, about what you guys are currently talking about with Bob. You have to remember, too, that 996 has 100 memory locations, basically. You know, you're not stuck with just 1 through 9 plus 0 memory locations. So, you know, the way I've done it in the past and the way I've done it in my own PCT-15 is you put the trunk system in a couple of times, and then you put one key in for the police, one key in for fire, one key in for this, one key in for that, and don't try and cram, you know the old saying, into a bag and a barrel. but break it up, and because you have room in system keys. And when you run that, you can always use the menus. You could always double stack system keys, you know, put two or three things into a system key. Then you can also have power-up keys, so it is a very flexible radio. So, as I was saying earlier, you got to break out of the, I got 100 memories and 100 IDs, I can put in this thing, and I have to move on to the next one. You know, so that's the way I've done it in the past, and it worked out very well for me, and the people I program radios for. But I'm going to let it drop for a second before I start going into airshow review.
Well, Phil, before you go into the airshow stuff, could you write up a short thing about how you did it on your system, on your radio, and then I can forward that out to the group so, you know, for people who are struggling, you know, they can take a step-by-step approach. Yeah, quick question.
Still, I'm not 100% clear. So, you program in the system. I've got the 8 or 10 frequencies in there, and naturally it's working. Now you've got a list of talk group IDs that you can put in. Now, right now I'm working with 100. That New Jersey system, you know, we'll call it Troop B for argument's sake. There's only 100 IDs that you can load into that radio and associate with that system, correct? You can break 100 up in different tanks, but no matter how you do it, you're still maxing out at 100, correct?
Well, that I don't remember. I haven't programmed up the 996 in a little bit. I'm actually loading up my Butel Sulfa right now to take a look and see how I did the Jersey system, because I know I did that one in the past. So give me a couple minutes over here. I'm opening up the profile now, and I will let you know how I did it.
I got a question. You if you have the 996, can you send me the Troop B file that you have so I can see what you did?
I can do that, not a problem. In fact, I think it was actually an entire... Actually, I have it come up right now, so just hold on 1 second. I'll let you know how I did it.
Once I see how it is, I'm sure I'll want to rearrange it from what you have, but I still think there's a way that I can get more than 100 truck group IDs in there.
Yeah, what you could do is you put the system into one quick key twice. So what you would do is here's how I did it, was on one quick key, I made three trunk systems, one called New Jersey State Police Central, one called North, and one called South. And in each system, I broke it down. So I have New Jersey State Police Central, and then I have Troop C, Statewide, CIB units, Radio Repair, Criminal Justice, CYFD, OEM, Fire, Task Force, and Agency. So those are the groups in the system. And then I did basically the same breakdown on the North and in the South. So all the group keys are the same. Actually, they're all turned off in this case, but Quick Key 82 would turn on all three systems. And then I think I actually have it stacked in there a second time. So it's the same way of getting over that 100 hurdle is you just load the same system key in for two different things.
Now, I understand what you've done. You've basically created three systems, and you can bring them up all at the same time. But the point is, in each one of those systems, you're still limited to 100 IDs in each system, correct?
That I'm unsure of. I do not own a 996. Like I said, I programmed it for somebody else. So this is how I had it fit in their system, in their radio. So I don't know if I did it this way intentionally or if this was just the way I had done it when I was programming it.
Yeah, I'm saying one thing, Calvin.
Okay, very good. Yeah, if you can, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to see the file. Send it off to the NYDXA mail, and I'll pick it up out of that box. Go ahead, Justin.
I know that we've done that much. I don't have another thing. And more than I know that because my website, I have the way I set my system includes it's on my website, but Canada count forward slash radio layout dot HTML and the data to provide. I don't use this as a much as I said I'm just so you said that you put the symptom in there twice and all of just curious on how would it lay out the group. Would you not put the same groups in the same system because as far as I know, I have all the top groups on one system.
No problem. Yeah, with the software, it's actually easy because you can, sit there and tinker with it, so. All right, Charlie, over to you.
Well, actually, it's still Phil's turn, so he has additional traffic regarding the air show and other stuff. So, Phil, go ahead. W2LA and 12B.
Okay, thanks, Todd. I'm actually sending out the email right now, so when I'm done with that, I'll have email up. With the air show, everything came in a day earlier than I expected. Everything came, Thunderbirds came in on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. As earlier reported on the Monitoring Times blogs and on their website, so the VHF diamond frequency that was reported earlier in the air was active in the air, active on the ground. It was 141.075 AM, and the solos used 235.250 AM. That frequency was only active while they were flying, practicing, and for the show. Other frequencies that were used was a common frequency used by several performers on 123.475, and also regular aviation frequency used for regular chatter. They were using that for the media and photo ops, flying around, doing the landmark type of stuff, maneuvering the plane to get the best shot, and whether or not they're going to turn smoke on, bank left, bank right, passing in front, that kind of stuff. So that was pretty good listening. That was on Wednesday, the day prior to the first practice date. The Snowbirds were also in town from Canada. I got to thank Bob and 1MLZ for helping me out with this one. He confirmed that 272.100 and 116.0, which I had loaded in for the air show, were the two active frequencies for the Snowbirds. And also Republic Ground of 128.250, that's the standard ground frequency for Republic Airport. They were calling that one air show. And as the planes came into Republic, they would QSY, I guess you'd say, over to air show frequency. And that was the Republic Ground, I guess, using for the military operation. I'm going to drop for a second. In addition to the air show, we also had the Fleet Week. I guess the city guys can give a little bit more information on that one. But the Marines did a couple of flybys, demonstrations throughout the locations. One of them being Eisenhower Park here in Nassau County, so I went to go check them out. 2 years ago, they used a frequency of 300 megahertz. They used 315.4. This year, they used 237.4, which I'm told is one of their tactical frequencies. An added bonus this year was they had the PA speakers set around the perimeter of the demonstration site on the other side of the rope, and they actually had the frequency on the PA, so you'd be able to hear them coming in. Unfortunately, we heard them on the PA before I got my close call, but once the close call kicked in, we confirmed that it was the frequency being in use. And it seems like that was the only thing. I'm going to drop one more time. In future events, we have the golf tournament, the U.S. Open. That's going to be at the Black Horse at Bethpage State Park in Farmingdale, which is no more than 10 minutes away from my location here. That is June 15th through the 21st. Again, that's the U.S. Open Golf Tournament. I'm going to start putting some frequencies together that I'm thinking will be used for that. Probably State Park PD, State PD, and I'm guessing Nassau County PAC. Maybe Town of Worcester Bay. Public Safety, I have to dig up that frequency. I have lost that one, so somebody can help me on that one. And also, Bob, I was trying to get some information on your missing talk IDs on the Suffolk system. And I did marry two IDs up that are also lined up on the East Hamptons. So I don't know if they're used between the two systems, but that's a theory of mine. Anyway, I'm going to go back to Net. Nothing new this week on the Nassau County Police. I've used the scanner for other things this week. So with that, that's all I got this week. So be well at ease. Back to Net.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Phil. Good stuff there. And I know it's Saturday. I linked into your website that had the audio stream for the air show. And I was able to listen to that for about an hour. So, you know, once in a while, it's not on a frequency of a couple guys yakking to each other. Probably one of those Unicom-type channels. But other than that, it came in pretty good. So I want to thank you for setting that up.
Not a problem, Charlie. Yeah, I tried to filter out what I could if I was around to knock them out. I've definitely got a list going now of things that are not going to be placed in the service next year. To try and keep things back on the show. I mean, the show was delayed on Sunday, so the feed was active, and I took Republic Airport out of it to concentrate on the show, and I didn't realize the show didn't start with a fog delay until 1:20. So it was pretty quiet then. So we tell you got that.
Okay, cool. So, here's what we learned. Okay, you go through the... go to the events, see what works, see what doesn't work, and the next time around, now we have less things to stumble across, more things already set up and waiting. Okay, it's 9:36, almost 9:37, let's stand by for additional check-in before we continue this. And 2-1 will be with the shortwave and scanner. Listen, that again, space it out so you don't step on anybody. And if you can't get in, please use our email at nycsa@yahoo.com.
Okay, and when I'm over, a couple questions, Charlie.
Yeah, okay, Bob. Let's go to you. You're the next on the list anyway, so. Yeah, we're just traffic. And when I'm over, that's 108.
Yeah, very good, Charlie. I always think of something later on. I was there in the net. You got a blood point up there that I had a question about. You were talking about the TV audio. I'm curious if there's a... I looked around a little. I didn't really see too much, but if there's a radio out there that that picks up the audio, it'll be picking up the digital audio because my wife likes to listen to her morning shows there at work. I bought her one of those TV radios, but I told her the bad news that you're not going to be able to hear the audio anymore pretty soon. So I was wondering if anybody out there has an idea of where I can get something. I saw a couple of them that were pretty high priced, but I imagine it'll probably maybe be coming down in price, maybe not. I don't know, but see if there's anything reasonable out there to pick up for her.
I've seen that question before, Bob, and unfortunately, right now, I have not seen any indication of a standalone radio that will pick up the ATSC digital data stream and extract from it audio from the different TV channels. I'd be nice if they did. You know, that would fill a gap once the switchover occurs on June 12th, which is only about 2 weeks away. So, yeah, I wish somebody would come up with one, but I haven't seen any word of it yet.
Okay, I figured that too. Yeah, I did a couple searches a while back on the net, but I came up with a couple things that I didn't think that they were what I, you know, I recently ordered a Diamond D130J. It's a discount that they have, and I read a lot about it. It's you know, quote-unquote, the best, I guess, or it's not the best we see, but I guess a good for the price. It's sturdy, and it holds up to the storms and all that. So I had that on order. I was wondering if anybody has direct experience with that discount and how they made out with it.
Well, that's the one I've had up in my attic for the past 5 years, running all my scanners. The first discount antenna that I used, Bob, was back in the 80s, and it was a Radio Shack model I picked up for $60. Unfortunately, there are longer elements that come down at an angle. They were hollow tubes that had little stainless steel threaded inserts. So a lot of times those things would just snap right off. The stainless steel insert with the thread on it was still stuck to the base, but the element itself would snap right off. Diamond came out with their 130 model discone, which was solid steel element, plus it had the center whip with a loaded coil, which makes it able to tune below 130 megahertz and actually get down into the VHF low range. Since they came out with that, I know Radio Shack had come out with a model that was an improvement over their earlier one, but I don't know if they still carry it. So rather than, you know, go crazy, when I moved into this house in 04, I just ordered the Diamond Disco and put that up, and, you know, I've been happy with it.
Yeah, okay, very good, Charlie. Yeah, that's basically what I read on the net also, that the Radio Shack one falls apart. And that's the reason why I figured I'd get something that's going to last up there. All right, very good. Sounds good. I ordered it from Giga Parts, believe it or not. I'm looking at eBay, you know, used ones are out there. They were going for almost the same price as the new one, and I saw the they had a sale going on there, Giga Parts, 10% off if you used the PayPal. So, you know, I got $10 off on it, whatever, big deal. But I figured I'd get it new and start fresh with it. So sounds good. Hopefully, I get a lot of use out of it there. Going to take the old 440 Yagi down and use the coax for that one. So wasn't getting much use out of that antenna. So another question, real quick, Charlie, is on that same subject. I wonder if Radio Shack still sells those 5-foot masks they used to sell. I have a feeling they don't, but didn't look into it yet, but if anybody knows if they still sell those little 5-foot masks, they used to come in handy just to go there and buy one. Do you know anything about that, Charlie?
I haven't seen one of their stores in years. Short of checking their website to see if they have any masking in there. These come in 5 and 10 foot lengths, inch and a quarter, inch and a half diameter steel tubing with powder coat on it. You know, for a while it was like a gold color, and then they came out with the gray colors to match their, well, their antennas that went with the satellite dish equipment. You know, they sell you a satellite dish, and if you want local stations, get this TV antenna, and here's a mask, put it on, and everything was colored gray. I don't know if they still carry it. I haven't seen them in the stores. You know, you used to have them there, and, you know, little by little, I think Radio Shack is dying. You know, we saw Best Buy go, and Circuit City or whatever, and it's like, you know, they're next. You know, they've gone from Radio Shack to, you want to buy a cell phone? When I'm walking into the store, talking on the cell phone. You know, give me a break. But anyway, short of that, there's always Home Depot or Lowe's. You know, you get some masking from there. I know some guys have taken thick wall PVC, and if it wasn't stiff enough, they would stick put a broomstick in there and send a bolt through the sides with the wing nut. NGBGR, Bill Butler, you know, does that with a portable masking system whenever he does a public service event. And he puts multiple sections together and raises the antenna up. So it might be another way to go if you can't find the 5-foot metal mask at Radio Shack.
Yeah, it's a good idea there, Charlie. It's a good idea. I might have to do that because I think I'm going to do a little extension. I want to keep the Yagi where it is now, that the 2-meter Yagi, and just put the disc on. one above it. And I'm using the 15 foot right now. That's what I'm talking on. 15, a 5 and a 10 put together on the Diamond X500 here I'm using. I'm talking on right now, so it's only up 15 feet, but those masses I've had for 20 years now, still up there, so, oh well. We'll find them somewhere. Very good, sir, Charlie. All right, I think that's all I had. Actually, I had something else that I thought, but forget what it was now. All right, I'll turn it back to you, Charlie. I think about it later. I'll break back in. N1MLZ.
Okay, Bob, well, just a warning. If you do extend it to even taller than the 15 feet, let's say you go to 20 feet or taller, at the 20-foot level, you have to start guying it. You know, put a guy ring around it and then run your guy wires just to give it stability. Because, unfortunately, you know, you may have it on a chimney mount or a vent-type mount or something, and then it's clamped at the bottom. But you put the antenna at the top, you know, once you get to, like, above 50 feet, go up to 20 feet, it then becomes top heavy and the thing will start swinging. So you want to stabilize that. So if you think about extending it higher, you know, start thinking about guying it so that you give it some stability so it doesn't move around on you. I know we've got some new people on here, they've never heard, you know, what is a discone? Discone is an antenna actually made by the military about 50 years ago. Or actually, no, I think it was a little bit further than that. Maybe they did it right before World War II. But basically what it is, it looks like, think of it as an ice cream cone upside down. You know, you get the long, you know, the wide base at the bottom and it slopes up to a point at the top. And the idea is that as it spreads apart from each other, you know, the lower in frequency you go, the longer the wavelength. So you want it, it's like the rabbit ears on the top of your TV set when you were a kid. Well, it's hard to say that some of the people who joined the net recently were kids when cable TV was out, but anyway. But that's the concept. And the frequency range of a discone is basically 10 to 1. So if the lowest frequency in this particular case, discones we use for standard listening, they'll be made at the lowest frequency of 130 megahertz, and 10 to 1 means that the highest frequency is going to be 1300 megahertz, or 1.3 gigs. And that'll cover everything from the aircraft band, VHF public service, amateur 2-meter, 220, military UHF, public service UHF and amateur, all the way into the amateur 1.2 band. So that's a good range of frequencies. Unfortunately, unlike other types of antennas you've probably seen advertised, there is no gain. You know, instead of having a 3 dB gain, 7 dB gain, it just doesn't have a 0 gain, or what they call unity gain. So whatever the signal is, that's it. What some people had to do with certain situations, not all of them, but certain ones, is that they may have to have some type of preamp on the received signal coming down from it. It is a very, very weak signal to try to pick up. But for the most part, especially in a metropolitan area like this, you don't need that. Signals are strong enough, you're close enough, and if you put a preamp on there, you could wind up overdriving the signals that are being received by it and create all sorts of weird images on frequencies where it really isn't. It all gets shoved into the front end of the scanner. And when that happens, it gets a little noisy and confusing, so. For the most part, it is.
Yeah, I'm hearing all sorts of noises on the system tonight. For the most part, you're not going to get free in. This zone is good for basic use, especially here in the 5 boroughs. Let's continue. Got any additional you want to throw into that?
This cone, which will actually work down to 6 meters. The center element is loaded, and it's stainless steel for the most part. I've had mine for probably 10 years, and it's outside. The only thing I did with it was, when I put it together, I sprayed it liberally with Krylon, and I have compared that thing against
many antennas. The only antenna that does better is my big diamond, was X560 or 500, that, you know, 20-something foot dual band. I mean, of course, that's going to do better. But even, you know, against quarter-wave ground planes and things like that, the disc tone does very well, and it is a great antenna for weather satellite work, believe it or not. I actually use that on my weather satellite receiver, and I don't really get too much fading, you know, when it flips from horizontal or vertical. So, good antenna overall. I think I paid $89 for it from Advanced, and money well spent as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's a good old antenna for all sorts of things that you want to receive. And the way they make today, you know, if you do want to transmit on them, yeah, you can. Again, there is no gate, but it's a good basic antenna. And you'll find them in all sorts of places. They're all about the same price. Yeah, they're all about $90-$100 now. And as Bob said, we have a local dealer here, Advanced Specialties in Lodi. You can find them online. Hero, Unica Parts, where they've got his. Many, many different places. Okay, let's see. Next one up we have is, Duffin, CQ2GK, and so on, I'll be. Duffin, you still with us? Okay, kids got to step out. Okay, last week, we had a very short net. I guess it was the American Idol finals and a few other things going on at the same time. But anyway, I put off announcing this stuff until this week. And we've been talking on and off about the UHF trunk system and conventional frequencies that are going to be rolled out for fire department in the EMS. So, yes, fire department is moving up to UHF. In fact, right now they are simulcast. So what their VHF frequencies are, there is a UHF frequency right now transmitting the exact same information. The new UHF trunk system is a 28-channel Motorola Type 2 system. All the frequencies, though, are at the 6.25 kHz separate. So you need to have a scanner, a trunking scanner, that will do 6.25 kHz. Look in the spec list for your model of trunking scanner. The newer ones obviously do it. My Tibetacat 396, 996, the Pro 164, 163, 106, the Jerry models, the PSR 500, 600. All the newer ones will do 6.25 kHz. The older ones don't, like my Bearcat 780 does not. So I would not be able to make use of this. Anyway, between leaving the 996 in ID search mode on the trunk system and jotting down when different talk groups came up, using scan control's automatic logging feature, just let it run all day long while I was at work, and also use my 396 handheld whenever I could, started picking things apart, asking various people what they heard, had some information passed to me, so we have a preliminary list of some of the agencies and some of the talk groups on this system. Some of them are active, some of them are still in testing, but it's an ongoing thing. So I have the list now, it's on my website, and it'll be growing from there, and I'll be transposing it over to Radio Reference. Go to n1ob.net, scroll down about halfway, you'll see the link to the Do It 800 trunking system, and right below that is the Do It UHF trunking system. All the frequencies at the top of the page, the talk groups that
actually been able to identify are on there. And as we get more from the listeners and through further investigation, we'll be updating that list as we go forward. From what we understand, systems agency that will be on there includes New City OEM, Health and Hospitals Corporation Security, you know, the hospital police, Department of Corrections, Fire Department, EMS, Sanitation, and the Sheriff's Department, and the Parks Department, and DOT, Department of Traffic. There probably is more. I know there is a talk group using APCO 25 that pops up every so often. It sounds like it's the new and radio group, like the private operations channel itself. So there's a few different things. And like I said, you know, as more is found and more is turned in, we'll be putting it up there and sharing it with everybody. With that, I'll just stand by for any last-minute check-ins, comments, questions, whatever, before we wrap it up. This is Antonio with the Shortwave and Scanner Listeners Center.
Altona 77.0.
on 482.125 and the field tone of 85.4. Now there's supposed to be a citywide fire, but I don't have the exact frequency. It's one of three blank ones that I have right now, but as soon as I find out, I'll let everyone know.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. I got the one I wanted. Unfortunately, most of your transmission wasn't very copyable. So Bronx got through, Manhattan got through, the rest were doubtful. You got noisy and you were breaking up and dropping in and out and so forth. I do wish we'd go back to 3-6 one of these days. But anyway, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And yes, I see they are different than they were when they first implemented them. So that'll be a great help, because I was able to hear them when they first started testing, and I haven't heard them lately. So I said, it's got to be time to reprogram the thing. Thanks a lot. X1OVWHYWC, back to me.
Okay, Don. We have some problems here with some of the remote receivers on which off to a different repeater. There are 20 conventional channels. 7 of them are going to be used for the fire department. So we have the 6 now, the 5 boroughs and the 1 citywide, and I don't know what the second citywide channel is going to be yet. And there's going to be 13 for EMS. And they're in the middle of doing their testing now for the EMS stuff. So as soon as we've got all of them nailed down, then I'll test that out as well. But it's in process. You know, it's one of these things that, you know, the powers that be, whether it be with DeWitt and their Motorola vendor, but promising for a few years now. And supposedly about a year and a half ago, they had some major problems. So it took a little battling back and forth, and now it looks like it's close to being full-time turned on. I mean, we're seeing some 12 groups on the trunk system, which are permanently being used, and the constant simulcasting at the fire department, so I think we're close. It's, if not June 1st, it's probably July 1st.
Yeah, do you have these up on your website, Charlie?
The trunking is already. I have not updated the fire department stuff yet. I want to make sure that this is exactly what they're doing before I pull out the VHF channels and stick the UHF ones in its place on that master page.
Yeah, makes sense. Do you think they're going to shut down the VHF right away when the UHF goes full time, or don't you think they're going to keep them running for a while?
Well, they're running simulcast now for, what, the past 2-3 weeks, at least. So this is their testing phase. And I guess as they start rolling out the new UHF radios and putting them into the trucks, where some will be on VHF, some will be on UHF until they're all rolled over, you know, that's the time to have both up. But once they're in every single truck by then, they would have had, I would say, a month or two easy of constant use. So that would be a good enough test.
Yeah, makes sense to me.